Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Summer, we bless the little fool. Me a running out of blessings are running back. Me a dead, imagine cause I'm tossing up to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm a priest. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. In my life, a pure peace and happiness. In my face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
Yo, let me breathe. Hey,
let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming, but let me watch out.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed, and I'm so glad that you have tuned in tonight. Happy New Year to you and your family. I pray that you are blessed this year with all the blessings that God has in store for you and all the blessings that He has told us that we would receive if we would obey His word in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and in so many other scriptures in the Bible. Bow your head and let us pray. Dear Lord, we just honor you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Lord, for how you have brought us, Father, to see another day, and even more so, to live to see another year. Lord, we bless you for helping us to be able to have breath in our bodies, to be able to utilize our talent for your glory and your honor. Lord, we pray on tonight, as we study your word again, Lord, that you would truly open up our understanding, that you would speak to us, direct us, and help us, Lord God, as we walk in the path of righteousness, that we would not forget to obey your commandments, that we would not forget to bless you, Lord. Father, we bless you coming in. We bless you going out, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon our personal lives and upon the lives of our family members and our friends. We bless you right now, Lord, and we thank you for this brand new year and being able to study the Word of God once again. Father, we honor you and we say thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Don't know if you notice, dear friends, I'm a little bit hoarse tonight. I've been shouting, I guess, for the last 3 or 4 days. I've been preaching for several days straight. But thank God that I'm still able to study the Word of God with you on tonight. I want to start this lesson by reminding you about the blessings that God promised. Our theme for tonight is actually having purpose in your life. You know that we have been studying for several weeks, trusting God or having faith in the midst of trouble. Well, the theme that we're going to be looking at this week is having purpose in your life. So I hope that you will stick with me this week as we do several lessons on purpose. But before we get into our main lesson, just want to remind you once again of the blessings of Abraham that were spoken over the children of Israel and the fact that we as Christians are part of these blessings that God spoke about for the children of Israel. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. I cannot emphasize enough that God wants to bless you. This is your season. This is your year to be blessed. And I want you to always keep in mind that God has many blessings in store for you. And it does not matter what last year looked like. this is a brand new year, and I want you to have great expectations for what God is about to do in your life. Deuteronomy chapter 28, it is very fitting for us to start the year in looking at the blessings that God has for us. The Bible says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be, blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve him. Amen and amen. Now, I just want you to know that verse 1 through 14 declared the blessings of the Lord that God has for those who obey him. But if when you have time, if you read verse 15 through 68, God went on to declare what would happen to all those who would not obey his voice. And I want you to know that the curses were actually longer than the blessings. You see, because God does not need a lot of verses to let you know that everything that you touch will be blessed if you would just obey the voice of God. If you would just do what God has called you to do, you will be blessed. Your children will be blessed. Your offspring will be blessed. Your, you know, family members, your all those associated with you will be blessed, because not only did it refer to the person, but it referred to the goods, land, everything. And so whatever we need, God will provide it if we would only obey his voice, if we would only listen to what he is calling us to do. Dear friend, make this your year of salvation. Make this the year that you obey the voice of God and allow him to speak to you. The only way that God can speak to you is if you spend time in prayer. When you spend time in prayer, you are able to hear the voice of God. When you spend time in prayer, God is able to speak to you in ways that you would never have heard or had time to hear before. And so I want to encourage you, obey the voice of God so that he could bless you. He said you'd be the head and not the tail. You'd be above and not beneath. He said that your baskets would be full and overflowing. Your cattle, you'd have lots of cattle. And for us, because most of us are not farmers, for the rest of us that are not farmers, when the Lord tells us that we would have lots of cattle, et cetera, it just means that we will be blessed. We will be able to purchase land and have houses and vehicles to do the business of the Lord, that type of thing. So if we would just be obedient to God, God would bless us and he would give us increase. Dear friend, God has increase in store for you, and I want you to obey his voice and to allow him to lead you. And so we're going to go into our main lesson for tonight, which is purpose, having purpose in your life. And I'm going to be doing a mixture of scripture plus a bits and pieces of an outline that Pastor Ken Burks has online, which is making the most of your life, making the most of your life. And so I'm going to put tidbits of that into your lesson tonight, your lesson on purpose, having purpose in your life. Now, it is interesting to look at what purpose really means. What purpose really means, because many people do not understand what the word purpose really means. And there's a word that says prosthesis, translated prosthesis, it means purpose, or the definition is setting forth. So in other words, when we talk about purpose, we're talking about setting forth. And Webster's dictionary has a synonym for purpose, which means intention. So when you have purpose in your life, it means that you have intention. You actually intend to accomplish something. You actually intend to do something with your life. You actually plan to set a goal for your life. When we make up our minds to serve God, what we're saying is that our purpose or our goal in life is to have our lives be pleasing to God. Our purpose in life would be to make sure that whatever we did would give glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must always keep in mind that when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God reminds us that our life has purpose. In other words, there is a direction that we are going in. It is not simply for us to just be living, but we must live with purpose. Over the course of the next few days, I will also give bits and pieces of the purpose-driven life, of course, that Rick Warren has online, and I will be gathering other bits of information from different ideas out there on purpose, because the idea is for us to understand what our real purpose in life is. Our real purpose, dear friend, is not just to survive. Our real purpose is to give glory and honor to God. And I want you to understand that your life has meaning. Your life has meaning. And God placed you here to do something. He did not place you here just to float through life and every day try to figure out what you're going to do next. But he placed you here with a purpose in mind, and that is to give him your life, give him your all, and also to use your gifts and talents for his glory and his honor. Now, making the most of your life is something that you need to focus on doing. You see, because some folks don't make the best of their lives. They're constantly jumping from job to job, jumping from husband to husband or wife to wife, moving here, moving there. They're not stable emotionally. They're not stable physically. In other words, their lack of stability emotionally causes great anguish in their physical bodies and also causes them to develop senseless diseases and what have you in their body because they have not figured out what the purpose of their life is. And because of that, they don't really have contentment. They don't really have contentment. And so I want you to understand that God wants you to have purpose. He wants you to have contentment. Why? Because when God made you, he said that what he created was good. And it was not his will for you to live in society and not have peace and not have joy and be restless, constantly restless. It was his goal for you to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. It was his goal for you to live a life of fruitfulness, contentment, and peace. And so James chapter 4, beginning at the 13th verse, it says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time, and then vanished away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, or do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it to him it is sin." And so, what is the purpose of our lives? The purpose of our lives is to understand what we should be doing with our lives. In other words, seek the face of God and understand that God does not want us to just plan for tomorrow just to please our own selves, just for self-gain. But he wants us that when we make goals and plans that we keep in mind, that it is for his glory. And so we must always say, God, what is your will? What is your will for my life? I am not just buying and selling just to get rich, but I'm buying and selling because I know that whatever gain I have, it is to give you glory. Dear friend, the Bible tells us, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. That tells us that our time on this earth is very, very small. It is just a window of time that we are here, and we must make every day count. We must make every day count. And so, whatever time that you have left on this earth, if you're 50 and you have, 50 more years or whatever, you know, the Lord has given us actually 120 years that we can live. But whatever age that you are, you have that many more years left on this earth, hopefully. But we don't know how many years we actually have. Only God knows that. But for the time that you have, make each day count. Because we are here today and gone tomorrow. And so you must do your best to seek God's face and to ask him what he wants you to do, what he wants you to do. And so the first point is that you must understand what the will of God is for your life. And the second point is that you must understand that you need to have a full and a rewarding life. Now, there are many folks who say, well, I can't be a Christian and live a fulfilled life because most of the things I want to do are secular. And I say, you know, that's just ridiculous. That's a ridiculous statement for a person to say that they cannot be a Christian and have a fulfilling life because of the cares of this world or the things that are drawing them towards the fun of this world. I just want you to know that I've been a Christian for many, many years now, and my life has been very much fulfilled. I have not regretted even one day of being a Christian. God has been very, very good to me. There's never been anything that I have had need of that God did not provide for me, and always on time, always on time. He truly is, according to the songwriter, an on-time God. And I want you to know that you can have a fulfilling life, that whatever it is that you need, God has given you some desires that you were born with, some ideas that you were born with. He has given you talent that you were born with, intellect that you were born with. He has given you, you know, lifelong ambitions that you have. Don't settle for less. Whatever dreams that you have, pray about it and ask God to direct it. Direct you, because he will. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Pleasures forevermore. You see, God has great pleasures forevermore for you. This path of life that you are on, God wants you to have his fullness of joy. You can have fullness of joy. How can you have fullness of joy? Or really, what does it mean to have fullness of joy? Well, in my own finite mind, my own definition of that, I would think that it means that God wants you to have completeness. In other words, you might not have everything that you want, but you are complete in the sense that you don't need a husband to complete you. If you're a woman, or if you're a man, you don't need a woman to complete you. You are complete in and of yourself because you have Jesus in your heart and in your life. And so, although it is a natural thing for you to long to have a companion, it is not necessary to have a companion. It's a good thing, but it's not necessary to have a companion to give you joy, because God himself is your joy. He gives you peace in your heart, and he gives you contentment. And so the other side of that that I would think of is the fact that we have a tendency to seek material things in order to be happy. You will see people spend years saving their money for a boat or a car or something like that, something that ordinarily they would not be able to afford, but they spend years saving for it. And so when they finally get it, you know, they're overjoyed with this new toy, as they call it, this new thing, material thing that gives them happiness. And after a while, they realize that now that they have it, they are no more happier than they were before they got that material thing. You see, because material things cannot give us fullness of joy, but being in the presence of God can give us fullness of joy. And so I want you to understand that true joy, true contentment comes from God. God wants you to have purpose. He wants you to have a goal. He wants you to have intentions of serving him and having singleness of mind, meaning that your sole purpose in life is to live a life that is pleasing to God. That is singleness of mind, and the opposite of that is double-minded. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so the opposite of singleness of mind is double-mindedness. Dear friend, when your sole purpose in life is to live a life that is pleasing to God, you will find that the things that you need of will be provided for you, because you have put your total trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have fully committed yourself to him, and you don't worry, you don't complain, because you already know that everything you have need of, that God is going to supplied. And so you don't have to worry at all that God will give you empty promises, because God does not give empty promises. Whatever he promises that he's going to do, I want you to understand that he will, and he does come through all the time, all the time. Each and every time, whatever it is that you need, God is able to supply. And so the last section that I want to talk about is, what do you really need to live a rich and a rewarding life? What do you really need for God to really feel that God is fulfilling that need? The main thing, or the first thing, is that you must have a sense of purpose and destiny. You must have a sense of purpose and destiny. The second part of 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, and I'm going to flip over to that. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, the second part of that says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand, dear friend, that God has a purpose and he has a plan for your life. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. And I'm going to read that one more time. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And verse 10 says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who had abolished death and had brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. Through the gospel. So, what is the Bible telling us? That God has called us with a sense of purpose, a sense of destiny. He has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, because we can't do anything to prove ourselves to God. We can't do anything to prove that we deserve the blessings of God. Whatever we do, we just have to surrender our hearts and our lives to God and just acknowledge that he is truly awesome and that he has called us into his marvelous light. And the Bible says he's called us according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us before time began. Can you imagine that? Even before God created the heavens and the earth, even before time began as we know it, the Bible tells us that he had already set things in motion for us. It was already in his purpose. It was already in his plan for us to be called, for us to come and serve him, for us to be called according to his purpose, his goodwill for our lives. And so it is no coincidence, dear friend, that you're listening to this message. It is no coincidence that you have chosen to be a Christian. It is no coincidence that you have listened to the voice of God and that you are doing what God has called you to do. The Bible says that even before the beginning of time, God had already ordained it so. So he was already thinking about us. It was already in his plan. He already had us on his mind. Can you imagine that even before time began, God was already thinking about you? He was already thinking about me, and he already had a plan of action. He already laid it out. He already knew how we were going to come to Christ. He knew the moment the very hour that we were going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, when I think about that, it just touches my heart to know that God called us and he chose us. We have not chosen him, dear friend, but he chose us. He loved us so much that he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And Solomon sums it up by saying in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 10 and 11, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity, and grasping for the wind, there was no profit under the sun. You see, dear friend, when we lose sight of God's purpose for our life, we can become dissatisfied in it. But when we keep our eyes on Jesus, we will always know and always understand the purpose and plan that God has for us. Ecclesiastes 3, 9 through 13 says, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task to which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, for it is the gift of God. Dear friend, God wants you and I to live lives that are pleasing to him and also to enjoy the fruit of our labor. He wants us to enjoy the fruit of our labor, but to understand this, that it is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. It is not just something that you do, but it is the gift of God. So let me read it again from the King James Version. Ecclesiastes 3, beginning at the 9th verse. It says, what profit had he that worketh, in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God had given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He had made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he had set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Amen. It is the gift of God. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to understand that your life has purpose. Purpose. That God has a plan for you and that your life has purpose. He also wants you to find contentment in what you are doing. To find contentment in what you are doing. Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13 says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Dear friend, learn that in whatever state that you are in, be content. Be content until such time that God changes your situation. But understand this, that God has a purpose and a plan for you. Doesn't matter what your situation is right now. God still has a purpose and a plan for your life, and you just have to put your trust in him. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 through 8 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. How many times in our lives have we looked over the fence and looked to see how well so-and-so was doing, and we are just did not feel contentment, you know, because it just seemed as if someone else was doing so much better than we were doing. I want you to understand, dear friend, that you don't need to compare yourself with other people. You just need to do what you are doing. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And so those two work hand in hand, that if your life has purpose, then you're going to live a godly life, a life that is pleasing to God. And if you're living a godly life, then the byproduct of a godly life is contentment. The byproduct, I'll say it one more time, the byproduct of a godly life is contentment. And then the end result of contentment is great gain. And so when I'm happy serving God, the end result is that I'm going to have great gain. Why? Because God is going to open up the windows of heaven, and he is going to bless me because I did not complain about my situation, but I was thankful in whatever state I found myself in. And then God went ahead and blessed me because of my faithfulness to him and the fact that I just continued on and did what I needed to do and did not complain and just allowed him to work it out. Now, dear friend, I'm not saying that I'm perfect, and I must admit that I have had times of complaining, but I have to remind myself and remind you also that we must learn to be content, learn to be thankful, learn to bless God with the big things and the little things. Whatever it is that God blesses us with, whether it be big or small, we must learn just to be thankful and continue to be godly. Continue to listen to the voice of God. Continue to study the word of God. Continue to pray. Continue to fast. Continue to trust God. Why? Because when you remain godly, it gives you contentment, and then the end result is great gain. Meaning that when I refer to gain, I'm referring to the fact that whatever you need, God will provide it. And the Bible says, we brought nothing in this world, and it is certain that we shall carry nothing out. Meaning that what God gives us, he gives us just enough for whatever we need. And if he gives us over that, he gives it to us to share with someone else. Because whatever we accumulate in this world, we sure cannot take it with us. It is certain that we cannot take it with us. And so whatever God blesses us with, it is necessary, dear friend, for us to share it with someone. It is necessary for us to share whatever God has given us with someone else, because there are many out there that are in need of a blessing. There are many out there that don't know that their life has purpose, that their life has meaning. And it is up to those of us who know and realize that our life has meaning, that our life has purpose, for us to be content in serving God and also to share that blessing with someone else. Pastor Burks gave an example in his lesson, and I just want you to know that I haven't really been using the outline too much. I've been using just highlights of it, but and that's just the way it goes. You know, I use outlines that others have written sometimes, but of course, you know, I don't always follow it, but it's always good to do research in any case when you're trying to do a lesson. But this particular one I will actually use verbatim. It's an illustration about the acres of diamonds. It says, an ancient Persian legend tells of a wealthy man by the name of Al-Hafed who owned a large farm. One evening, a visitor related to him tales of fabulous amounts of diamonds that could be found in other parts of the world and of great riches they could bring him. The vision of all this wealth made him feel poor by comparison. So instead of caring for his own prosperous farm, he sold it and set out to find these treasures. But the search proved to be fruitless, finally penniless and in despair, he, you know, took his own life by jumping into the sea. Meanwhile, the man who had purchased his farm noticed one day the glint of an unusual stone in the shallow stream on the property. He reached into the water, and to his amazement, he pulled out a huge diamond. Later, when working in his garden, he uncovered many more valuable gems. Poor Al-Hafed had spent his life traveling to distant lands seeking jewels, when the farm he had left behind were all the precious stones his heart could have ever desired. Now, dear friend, when I read this illustration, I found it very interesting because it goes right in line with that statement that says the grass is always greener on the other side, meaning that over and over again, we leave what we have and go seeking after something else when God did not tell us to go and seek something else. He told us to continue laboring where we are and that he would bless us where we are laboring. You see, we sometimes run when God did not tell us to run. We jump when God did not tell us to jump. And we, you know, just move before God says to move. And sometimes we just need to be patient, just need to wait, because God already has blessings in store for us. He's already told us what our purpose is, which is to give him glory, to serve him. And if we would stop trying to get ahead of God, we would see that God would truly help us and that he would give us contentment in that situation that we're in right now. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things that you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. For we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And so we must learn to just be content. Be content. Be happy. Whatever little you have, be happy with it. Whatever much you have, be happy with it. And if it is if it's God's will for you to be wealthy, then so be it. If it's God's will for you to just continue with, you know, what little you have, you know, be content. If you want to help lots of other people, then pray and ask God to bless you to use your talent to write books or to write songs or whatever it is that you do on your job to be successful in your business. And he will bless you with overabundance in whatever you need to be able to do more for the kingdom. It is my desire to do more in the kingdom. It is my desire to reach many, many souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so God has given me that opportunity to do that. And whatever it is that you have a desire to do for God, God is going to open up doors for you to be able to do it also. James chapter 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Dear friend, humble yourself and let God use you. Don't get ahead of God, as I've previously stated, but know the plan that God has for your life and allow him to bless you. Allow him to bless you. And the last part of this outline says, evaluate your priorities from time to time. Evaluate your priorities from time to time. You see, when you set a goal for yourself, there are times when you might have to rework that goal. You might have to rewrite it, you know, sometimes referred to as your personal mission statement. Everyone should have a personal mission statement. You should know what you want to do with your life. And so when you have that mission statement, sometimes you need to rewrite it. You need to look at it again, revamp it, and say, you know what, this is what I wanted to do a few years ago, but I'm not quite sure if that's exactly the way that my life is heading right now. So I'm rewriting some of this to fit what I really feel that God is telling me that I need to do. And also, some folks, I think including Oprah and many other folks, they have what they call a vision board, where you take maybe a big board or a piece of paper, a journal or something, and you put on there several things that you're dreaming about doing. So, you know, perhaps you've always dreamed of traveling to different places. I just read today where Oprah said that she was planning on going to India because it's always been on her vision board for her to go to India. You know, there's several places around the world that I would like to see, and I'm going to take my own advice and sit down and make myself a vision board. In other words, I want to visualize those things that I want to see God doing, you know, in the next few years. And I am going to trust God to be able to bring those things to pass, because I know that everything that I desire to do is to give God glory, whether I'm writing books or I'm traveling around the world, preaching on short-term mission trips, whatever it is that I'm going to do, I know that my heart's desire ultimately is to give God glory, is to give God glory. And so, dear friend, I know the Bible refers to the fact that in Jeremiah, the Bible says that God's thoughts of us are of good and not evil. In other words, He loves us. He cares about us. He cares about everything that we are going through. And He has great plans in store for us. His desire is that we would walk in faithfulness. You know, Jeremiah 29, verse 11 and 13, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you hope and a future. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Dear friend, are you seeking God with all your heart? Do you understand that He has a purpose and a plan for your life? Do you have a mission statement for your life? Do you have a vision board where you're looking and trying to map out what you want to do for God and how you want your life to be pleasing to God? And do you understand that first and foremost, you must completely surrender everything to the Lord Jesus Christ? Give Him your heart. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. And ask Him to just come in right now and touch you, transform you. And remember that He loves you very much. He cares about you. And this is your season to be blessed. Our theme scripture is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And our closing thoughts are, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There is no such thing as can't. And what you believe, you can achieve. Dear friend, there are great things that you can achieve with God's help. I want you to never, ever give up. And remember that this year, this is your year. This is your season to be blessed. God has great things in store for you and your family. And I want you to start this new year with excitement, understanding that God has great things in store for you. I don't know if you are already fasting this year with any organization, but for the first 21 days of the month, we are in fasting and prayer, half-day fasting, skipping breakfast and lunch and eating dinner, or maybe fasting from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m., or if you cannot fast because of your health, perhaps skipping, you know, giving up something for the 21 days. I just want you to know that there are many people who want to reap a harvest, but they're not willing to sow anything. Dear friend, in order for you to reap a harvest, you must be willing to sow a seed. And so, dear friend, I want you to join us in praying and in fasting, in seeking the face of God, and understand this, that this is your time. This is your time to do all the things that God has called you to do. This is the time to really set your face to the wall and begin praying, begin seeking the face of God. There are all types of predictions that have been predicting for the year 2012. But, dear friend, you don't have to worry about the predictions that have been made, because when you have put your trust in God, you don't have to fear and you don't have to worry about what tomorrow brings, because God is already in your tomorrow, and the things that he has for you, oh, they are so wonderful. They are so awesome. God has great things in store for you, dear friend. Put your trust in him. God loves you. He cares about you. And this is truly your season to be blessed. Thank you so much for studying with me tonight. I pray that the words of wisdom, you will take them with you, that you will ponder them in your heart, that you will pray about purpose, and that you will study some more with me, because God is truly here to bless you, and I hope that you are ready. I hope that you understand that he is coming back soon and very soon, and that he is coming back for a church that is ready, for a church that is thinking about heaven and understands that there is a place called heaven prepared for those who love God, and that there is a place called hell for those who will not listen to the voice of God. Right now, let us pray. Let us pray. Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We magnify your holy name, O God. I thank you for those that have studied with me tonight. I pray that you would open up their understanding, continue to bless them, continue to bless their families. Lord God, as we begin a new year, we pray for nations all over the world. O God, in the Middle East, Lord God, in Europe, in the African nations, O God, Central America, Lord God, in the Caribbean, all over the world, O God, where there are folks listening to this message, I pray that you would open up the windows of heaven and that you would bless them. One of these days we shall make it to heaven. One of these days there's a place prepared for us. And Lord God, as we get ready to go to this place called heaven, I pray, Lord God, that we would repent, turn away from our sins, and that we would understand that you have a purpose and a plan for our lives. May we fulfill the plan, O God, the purpose that you have prepared for us, Lord God, that you might get glory and honor in our lives. We bless you right now. Oh, we bless your name, Jesus. We honor you, and we say thanks to you in Jesus' holy name. Father, I pray for that one that is sick right now. I pray that you would heal them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. One of these days, we will all get to heaven. God bless you, dear friend. Thanks for studying with me. And listen to this song, Second Chance, when we all get to heaven.
troubles and trials, oh, when I get there on the other side, I'm going to shake my hand with the others and tell all the people for the morning and sit down beside my Jesus. Sit down and look a little while. Yeah, it soon be done. All my troubles and trials.
Tonight. Have a blessed evening. May the peace of God be with you. This year, have a prosperous year. We're going out now with our theme song, Second Chance Ministries. Be blessed.
Make that summer we blessed till we fool. Me a running out, the blessings are running down. Me a dead. Imagine cause I'm talking about the cup around over. What does it mean?
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm in the priest. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm dead to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Yo, let me preach. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes late from the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place, I shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like Johnny,